welcome to an incredible episode of BJ Shea's Board Game Alliance. We are on 117, and I am your host, Joey, a bragging baker, baked black bread D's. Yes! Killed it!
Wow, bravo.
Oh, thank you. That's right. Of course, across from me is Sean Epperson of Think 12 Games, who could not stump me today.
Oh, hey, hey.
And Josh Utley of the Omega Gamers joins us.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Vicky B is on assignment. Today, we are going to have two great guests from OrcaCon on to talk about the January convention that will rock our worlds. Josh, how can the Geek Nationals get a hold of us?
Oh, they can go to bjgeeknation.com and you get all the podcast, blogs, interviews, videos, links, and more.
More!
Or just check it out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, or iTunes, or Odyssey. That's AUDACY.com.
Odyssey. Well, I don't think we should keep the Geek Nationals waiting, because I see that Steve and Donna are on the line waiting to talk with us about OrcaCon. With us today are two amazing guests that probably love board games even more than we do, which is a shock because we pretty much only board game 25 hours out of the day, I'd say.
Yeah, we find an extra hour.
Yeah, we find that extra hour.
We do want an extra hour.
Exactly. Donna Pryor and Steve Hobbs of OrcaCon. They are awesome. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
For those of the gamers that don't know, you all help put on a little small inclusive convention every year in January, I believe, of 2023 this year. Would you tell us a little bit about what you're doing?
So OrcaCon is a tabletop games convention. We're focused on diversity, inclusion, and accessibility. And I guess, let's see, what is this, year 8? I can't math, so I don't know.
And this...
Yeah, I love the fact that you added inclusion to our intro. Thank you very much. We pride ourselves on that.
Yes, definitely. Now... We have gone to a lot of cons. Josh and John,
Josh and John.
We are one. We know this.
Our lovely board gaming experts, Josh and Sean. Now, I know you've been to some Orca cons. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your experience with them so far?
For local cons, absolutely the best con I go to.
Best con they go to.
Yeah, I have a blast at OrcaCon every single year. I totally look forward to it. There's people that come down from Canada to join part of OrcaCon, so there's some folks that I only get to see at OrcaCon because of that. Like, it's always a fun time, and the fact that they really do a good job of making everyone feel welcome and safe and, you know, like, just we're happy that you're there, it makes it a really special con.
That's awesome. Donna and Steve, what do you guys do that makes this con so special? What do you put on? What kind of games are people playing?
Go ahead.
It's about half and half board game and tabletop RPGs.
Okay.
And the RPGs can be anywhere from, little story games on up to D&D and all games in between.
And I think the big deal in why we're so successful and why you have given us a rounding endorsement as the best con ever,
yes,
is that we focus on the inclusion part. We make people feel welcome.
I can't disagree
purpose.
More.
Yeah.
Or agree more, not disagree. But yes, inclusion is a huge part about board gaming. I mean, feeling welcome, especially when learning. I mean, because there's a lot of learning that goes on in these board games. So Donna and Steve, what do you look forward to most when you're putting on one of these cons? Besides a bunch of work.
It is a bunch of work. It's my unpaid full-time second job.
As board gaming should be.
Yeah. I don't work as hard as Donna at these OrcaCons, but
true.
My thing is managing the media folks that come by. And by the way, you guys have not filled out your media badge. Please do that. And I am there at your beck and call. So you come by and you want a nice quiet room to record, I will be there for you. If you want a cup of coffee, I will be there for you. I love the con because it is the weekend just before session starts. So I get to not think about politics and government stuff. And I get to play games and meet friends.
That's cool.
I will get mine filled out quickly.
Yeah.
I'll make sure they get them.
One of the things that really kind of drives me every year is when we did our first OrcaCon, we ran a Kickstarter for it and wisely ran it for enough money to pay the hotel bill.
Realizing
it's just like, if we have this, it's great. We're going to have like 300 people show up. Not a big deal. We can handle this. And then 800 showed up.
Oh, man, that's overshooting.
I was really, really glad that we had enough to pay for, you know, the rental, for all the different things that we were doing.
It's a good problem to have.
That's
a good problem to have. I was just like, well, I guess we're hitting something that people want. And the one thing that always sits with me every year when we start planning is that I did a survey post show, like I do every year, and 11% of those 800 people, well, not all of them responded, of course, but 11% of the responses had never been into a game store or a convention before. They're all brand new.
Wow.
And so I think that that's important in, you know, in kind of taking down the gatekeeping that I experienced when I was young, because I'm an old boomer. And, you know, I made the con that I always wanted to attend, you know, where I felt welcome and there wasn't any gatekeeping. Like, unfortunately, you still see today. It's like if I walk around a show and I'm wearing my uniform for work, then people will talk to me. But if I'm just dressed like, you know, just like a regular nerd, besides my work nerdness, it's like people, you know, will just ignore me. Or, you know, I got tired of when I was young, it was like, oh, is this for your brother, your boyfriend, your dad? And then I got older. Is this for your kid, your son, or your husband? And I was like, no, I would like to play with this little miniature model, please. And how do you paint things?
It's for me.
And so, you know, it's just kind of always stuck in my mind that all these people had never been to a game store because they didn't feel welcome. And that was a lot of the feedback that people gave, is that they always felt intimidated. And games can be intimidating with strangers, or worried that you're not going to understand it. And especially because, to be honest, a lot of the games that people did play maybe when they were young were, you know, Candyland and the Game of Life and Monopoly and things like that, which, you know, I don't want to bash any kind of games, but, you know, Monopoly is the one that everybody bashes, which would have been great if it was in its original format by the woman who originally created it. It was an anti-capitalism game, which a lot of people don't know.
That's funny.
So when you get people and they're just like, well, you know, maybe like I loathe Scrabble. I can't stand it. I will happily say that I can't stand Scrabble.
I agree.
But
with you.
I'm not going to crap on anybody for liking Scrabble. And if somebody is like me, you know, or if they've got like me, I've got dyscalculia. So numbers can be hard at times. And so, you know, being able to tell these people is like, we'll teach you how to play games. Come on in. If something looks good or you want to join in, we'll welcome you to table. It's like we actively bring people to table instead of just saying, oh, you're welcome. You're welcome to come to the con. But instead it's like, please come to the con and let us show you how to play games. That has always been such a big core of everything that we do, is trying to have, even when you have like the Pathfinder Society or, you know, the D&D Adventures League and stuff, that those people aren't really new to games. And, you know, they're very specific ways of playing the games, but they're not necessarily welcome to that new person who doesn't understand a single thing about playing a role-playing game.
We can definitely attest to that, because when we're at cons, we always... anybody who walks over, we know we may not even finish a game because we're going to talk to everybody. And you saw us doing that, and you made a point to come over and say, hey, I want you guys right in front of the elevators. One, you're loud, people notice you, but you talk to people. So you've actually, you're right. You made a point to do that.
And we invite people into our games, even though we don't know them. We're like,
yep.
We've got an open spot, and they're like, hey, what are you playing? Oh, we're playing this game. We've got room. Would you like to join us? And, you know, they sit down, and even if they're like, well, I don't know how to play. Well, don't worry. We'll teach you how to play the game. And whenever we're playing with new players, we don't go, like, if I'm going to attack someone, I'm not attacking that new player, right? I'm going to be cool and courteous to them, and then I'm going to beat up on Josh because it's funny.
Smart move.
Makes sense.
That's what, yeah.
That really proves that Donna's on the lookout for it, too. because we've been to cons where, like, you guys need to quiet down a little bit. You need to, you know, be in your bubble. It's like, well, no, we're gaming. It's meant to be a social.
Gaming is definitely very social these days. And I think that's, I think you guys touched on it perfectly. The best part about OrcaCon is there's nothing better than when you enter a room and you feel invited to every table in every genre of game. Because I have been in those scenarios where you show up and they're playing Warhammer 40K or something and there's no invitation. It is a locked off, roped off, sealed off area of the room that isn't accessible to anyone. And it sounds like that is not ever true at OrcaCon.
Hey, Donna.
Right.
When you have the big open play area, if someone has a game but they don't know how to play it and they're looking for a teacher, or if they have open spots, you guys have signs to kind of call that information out, right?
We do. Yeah. And also is that if you have a game and you don't know it, and maybe all the game, because we have game hosts who do nothing but walk around and teach people how to play games, and they'll join your game, they'll teach you, or just like, hey, I don't know how to play it, so let's play it together.
That's awesome.
I actually challenge anyone not to have fun at all. I really do.
Have you played the Resistance?
Well, there was that one guy.
Yeah. That is actually interesting, Steve. What kind of games do you like to play? Because I know you said you tend to get busy after this week of gaming after OrcaCon. Mm-hmm. What do you like to play?
You know, I like to play a new game, like because there's Playtest Northwest that's there. Highly encourage people to check them out because these are up and coming, you know, game designers coming up with the new thing, right? So I love playing a couple of games of that. I just played, and it was on Penny Arcade, actually. I was on a live stream learning how to play Spirit Island, and I want to play that nice. Again. Those are kind of things that I like to do. You know, there's also oldies but goodies that I like to do, like Splendor. I love Splendor.
Yes.
Cover Your Assets is kind of a newish, maybe about 2-3 years old. And what I love about that, it was designed by a local person, you know, a Washingtonian.
Yes.
You know, and I always look for those gems of games that were designed here in Washington State for obvious reasons, you know.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. For those of that are listening that want to get more information, OrcaCon 2023 will be held on January 6th through the 8th at the Hilton Bellevue in Washington State. The Hilton is a great hotel. I've been there multiple times, and maybe for board gaming. I have to ask, because we get into some food talk, as we talked about last week, Sean's lovely grandma's horrible salad that should never be made. What food around the area can people be getting during your con? Are you going to have any food in the actual venue itself?
Well, that's funny that you should ask, because I just recently updated our food truck menu.
Ooh.
For this year. So, what you know, something that a lot of people don't know. The person or the group that owns the hotel that we're in also owns the parking lot. And in a lot of hotels, when you have to pay for parking, even if you're attending an event, that's because the parking lot is usually a third party. Especially the closer you are to the airport. And so it's just like, well, how come you guys get free parking? It's because the guy owns it. So he owns the land, or he owns he owns all of it. So basically it's like, oh, free parking for everybody all the time. And we're like, can we bring in food trucks? And they're like, yes. So we have some new ones, and we have some that are joining us, who come like off the res, fried bread tacos. They come every year. Nice. You know, we get the Cheyenne coffee trailer comes every year. Little J's Super Dogs, Tabasum. Who else is coming up here? Tamale My Life. They came in for the first time this year, this past January, and everybody loved them. Yeah. So I think that there's, we've got one that's going to come that's Thai food. Another one, it's called Chicken Fix, and it's got lumpia, which I love.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the hotel has its own, has its own food. As far as what else is around, I don't know, because I just eat at the food trucks.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you can walk or take transit over to Bellevue Square, and there's tons of restaurants over there.
Yeah, but there's really no reason for you to leave. I mean, the food trucks are amazing. And in fact, for your listeners up there, all you got to do is go to the OrcaCon website, and there's a hotel tab, and then a drop-down menu. It says food trucks. It tells you which food trucks are coming in the particular time frame. So definitely check that out. There's a lot of options for people.
That's perfect. Mm-hmm. I love food trucks. That's the best way, or the best kind of delivery system for food, because there's often multiple things you want to try in the area. And if you have multiple food trucks, you get one for breakfast, you get one for lunch, you get one for dinner. You can stay fueled the whole gaming day.
Well, and if you have a big group, you're never going to get everyone that wants the same thing, right? Like, okay, you go get this, I'll go get that, and we'll all just kind of meet up and like share a little bit of each other's stuff.
The breakfast, you'd mentioned the breakfast. There's literally a food truck called Breakfast All Day, which will be there Saturday and Sunday, or Saturday morning. So check it out.
So that's where I'm eating.
Yeah. And one of the things, just real quick, about the food trucks, not only are just they awesome, and the hotel staff loves it because they don't have to leave. They can just go out and get. So you'll see the staff out there eating off the food trucks too. Is it comes back to our accessibility, because accessibility means a lot of different things, and conventions are expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this way, by having these different options, we offer something that, you know, we offer where somebody can have hot food, and it's definitely cheaper than what you're going to find in the hotel, and probably what you're going to find up in Bellevue Square. Now, you know, there's like McDonald's and things like that that you could drive to, because Bellevue is not really easy to navigate on foot unless you're right in downtown. So, you know, it kind of has that for accessible, is that it's financially accessible more than, you know, just hotel food. And it's also hitting the accessibility on people's dietary needs. So that way, you know, it's just like, there's gluten-free food, there's dairy-free food, you know, there's kosher, there's like all different kinds of whatever people's dietary needs. We try to hit them as much as possible so everybody can enjoy the food trucks and have something good to eat.
It's a very good point, and it's smart. And I mean, I love a good walk, but on a board gaming day, I want my walk to be from table to table, not from, you know, restaurant to restaurant in Bellevue.
We want to maximize your tabletop gaming efficiency. That's what we want to do.
That is very awesome.
And I know, because we get that, you know, it's just, you know, there's lots of cons that have moved into the hotel that we are in, which is great. You know, the hotel is become known for having a really great staff and being a really great place to have conventions. I think BrickCon, the Lego convention, was there this past time, because a lot of conventions have also been downsizing, you know, that were larger. So everybody fits really well in that space. So I just like it. I like that space, and they're very nice.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing every time I've been there. And I mean, the past OrcaCons have been fantastic. And, you know, this is coming off a great holiday vacation that most people will be on. And I can't think of a better gift than a little pass to OrcaCon.
That's correct.
And in fact, you know, your listeners should go on OrcaCon.org and register right now with the early bird registration. Register online, and before December 26, it's $70 for an adult 3-day, and for a child, it is $55.
That is a steal.
Yeah.
Now, do it now. Don't wait till registration, because obviously they're gonna, you know, it's gonna go up in price.
Exactly. Yeah. Plus, it'll be just in time for Christmas.
Once we turn off online sales, we'll put the information up about day passes. So if somebody wants to come for the day, they can't stay the whole time. But I did want to also give a shout out is that because we had so many games arrive. So you could do a whole show about what happened in 2022 about this year's OrcaCon that we had.
It's just like, I'm having PTSD, Donna. Oh, my God.
You know, all the avalanches, the passes being closed, Canada's rules. People could come down. They couldn't get home. Yep. The flooding of I-5 where people from the south couldn't get up through here. I mean, it was just a comedy of errors, I guess.
That happens.
And so, it's just like, so we have some of the play and win library from last year added to a really big list of play and win. I think if I haven't put it on the website, I'm going to put it on the website, hopefully this week, that shows you all the different games for the play to win.
Oh my gosh. Who doesn't love to win a game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so we've got some new groups that Double Exposure has put together to add on there. And then, of course, with my day job, which is Catan Studio, is that we're also donating to that, too.
Oh, wow.
Donna, yeah. You should also talk about the amazing Catan tournament.
Oh, yeah.
You got to plug that.
It's a national qualifier on Saturday. And so, play three games and then one final game. And then that person wins a seat at the national championship.
Oh, man. Next year. That's quite the prize.
That is a good prize.
Yeah. And so if you win the national, you get to go to the world championship. And like I was saying earlier before we were recording, is I was just in Malta. So we flew over to the Mediterranean and held the world championship.
Wow.
You know, it was 86 players from 49 countries.
Oh,
so
man.
It's a deal. It's a big deal.
That's inclusion right there.
Yeah.
Now, you did mention a $70 sail pass, but I heard you also might have a little block pricing for the hotels, because you can, of course, stay at the Hilton.
Oh, yeah. In fact, you want to enhance your con experience. You don't want to worry about, oh, did I drink too much? Or, oh, I'm playing Twilight Imperium into 3 o'clock in the morning and I got to go home. You don't want to do that. So, yeah, go online to orcacon.org, click on hotel. The room rates are right there. Standard one king, standard two queen beds, $109 per night. That is freaking awesome. And then the high floor king, two queens at $139 per night. So, you got to do it. Get the whole con experience.
That's right. One elevator down to the board games.
Yes.
Oh, that's so awesome. I always get so pumped up. Sean, do you have anything else?
I'm just excited to go. I can't wait. I'm pumped.
What about you, Josh? Are you guys going to break your records for longest gaming session in a row?
Why stop?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
We don't stop.
No. Yeah.
Are you playing Twilight Imperium? Is that what's going on?
You see, it's a whole nother level playing Twilight Imperium with BJ.
Oh, gosh. That's a 48-hour affair right there. Well, again, OrcaCon 2023 will be held January 6th through the 8th at the Hilton Bellevue in Washington. Go online to their website, orcacon.org, to get more information and that sweet $70 little sale they have going on right before the holidays. Again, thank you so much for joining us, Steve and Donna. It's been awesome to have you on.
It's always such a good time talking to y'all.
Thank you so much, Steve and Donna. Those two are awesome. I cannot wait to do a bunch of board gaming. Go to orcacon.org again to get all the information for the convention that comes up on January 6th through the 8th.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
I'll be there. I won't be sleeping.
No, you will be under or above a board game table. One of the two.
Fair.
And that has nothing to do with sleep.
Hey, Sean.
Yes.
I think it's time we move on to some quick starters. Everything crowdfunded, the games that we love to back that are coming up soon.
Oh, yeah. So first we're going to talk about Cube Monster by Crazybox with two Z's. It's a 1-4 player game, about 25 minutes per player. This is a cube drafting game with some engine building set in. So since you're going to be drafting these cubes to feed the monster, if players aren't able to feed the monster, if people aren't keeping up with feeding it, you're going to suffer penalties. There's going to be a drafting sequence after you've fed the monster. You're going to draft those cubes and use them to do some little engine building things with your own tableau of cards. And then basically you're going to try and race up to the top of this mountain. This is interesting because the cubes are actually pretty big size. They're 15-millimeter cubes, so these are very large, chunky pieces that are in the game.
Well, he's a hungry monster.
He is a hungry monster.
And he gets angry when you don't feed him, just like me at a board game convention.
This, if you go with the full all-in pledge level for this, this is going to have some amazing table presence. So first up, we're talking about the Champion Pledge. That's the base game. That's $59. There's a Monstrous Pledge for $100 that gets you the 3D monster board. Now, what that is a hand, this grasping monster hand that the cube board sits into. And it's actually a playable piece. So it'll sit on the table. There's a $199 pledge that gets you the monster board, the game, and a 3D mountain. So the mountain piece, you have minis in the game that shows you your space on the mountain as you're climbing up and trying to, you know, get to the highest spot. Visually, this game just looks absolutely incredible, and it's got a lot of like really positive reviews in regards to how it plays. So, you know, fun playing game, awesome table presence. This looks really, really cool.
Has it won? I see two awards.
Yes, it's actually won some awards. So they won the Cardboard Edison Award and the Ion Award.
Oh.
So they're a new publisher. So that's typically a lot of the indie games go through Cardboard Edison. So this is really cool to see them doing really well. So far, they've unlocked the Ink-Washed Minis, which that's always really cool, and the Monster Die Cube Throne. So there's a monster die. You actually get to place it in its own little piece that just comes as a freebie. And extra cubes, just in case, you know, things get lost. Right now, they're sitting at around 63K of their 20K. Oh, I'm sorry, 69K of
Whoa.
Their 20K. So
nice.
They're really cruising up there. They've got about 811 backers, and this is going to be ending on December 21st.
Oh, so man.
Get in there. It's going to be ending soon. So
today?
Yeah. So check it out. I'm sure they'll have a late pledge as well if you happen to miss that, but get in and check it out. It looks really, really awesome.
Are you going to invest at the CubeVestor pledge?
The CubeVestor?
The CubeVestor pledge is $925.
Jeez, what do you get for that?
Three real silver cubes.
Oh, well, okay.
Actual
that makes
silver.
Sense, I guess. Yeah.
Large, real silver cube.
Shiny.
Shiny. Sorry. Anyway, moving
yes,
on.
Yes, Soul, Last Days of a Star. Now, this is a game that's actually been out for a while. We've actually played this, Josh. Do you remember playing
look
this game?
Look at that look on his face.
Well, see, sometimes Sean remembers playing games with people that Sean never played with people.
Lies.
Never happened before.
I played this game once
yes.
at... Vernon Wells, our old buddies, Vernon Wells.
Oh.
And I played with some of the staff there.
Yeah, all right. I know, I played it at BJ's, so he had a copy of this game as well. This is a local game publisher, Elephant Laboratories. So in Soul, The Last Days of a Star, it's an action point-based game. So you're going to be acquiring resources from layers of the sun. The board is actually this big, giant sun, and everybody's orbiting this thing. You're sending out pieces to try and like pull resources from the sun. You're creating these orbiting space stations that gives you... Basically, you're trying to acquire enough power to be able to get out because the sun's going to explode. It's the last days.
Why's it got to do that?
So you're trying to get out. So there's a little bit of cooperativeness because as you're pulling resources from the sun, it's getting closer to blowing up. So you can't race it too much because everybody goes. Everybody will die. So there's a little bit of that. But then you want to win as well. So it's a really cool game.
So Sean killed everyone. That's what I heard.
Killed everybody. It's a really pretty game with all the different ships and the stations and the Sundiver pieces and all this, like really neat. So what they've done actually is they're doing a reprint of the game, but not just a reprint. So if you have this game, they have a wood insert. The wood insert is engraved and labeled. It looks absolutely gorgeous, and you can get just the wood insert for $25. Really cool. So they're not just leaving out people that have bought their game previously.
And I might have to back it just because it's made by Elephant Laboratories, and I'm very biased towards elephants.
Exactly.
They're amazing.
You can also get the Mothership Pledge level for $65. That gets you the game. And if you get the Arc Pledge for $85, that's the game and the wood insert, which is actually cheaper than if you were to buy them separately.
And Joey, it's safe to back. Mothership's a pledge level, not the game Mothership.
Okay, good, because we know how I feel about that.
They're doing a great job. 142K of their 60K goal, so they're very well funded. They've got over 1,500 backers right now, and it's going to be ending on January 3rd. So you got some time, but get in and check this out, because this is a really cool game. It's got 7.5 on BGG, which is a really good ranking for them, so it's awesome to see them keeping going. This is another one. I hadn't heard of this before until I started doing some research for our quick starter segment. This is Goldblivion by Goblivion Games. Goblivion is actually the first game that they did, and it's a cooperative tower defense type game. Goldblivion is a competitive game, and I saw deck building. I'm like, I love deck building, but they call it a double deck building game. Now, what they do for double deck building is you actually have two different decks. One deck is for your combat, so you're being there's some different combats you can go on and do on. The other deck is sort of your tableau building. So that's one of the ways that they kind of change up the whole deck building aspect. But another element is when you do combat, you have to call out your weakest card. So there's automatically some deck calling going on just through how you play the game.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then when you purchase cards, they get added automatically to your deck, and you have no discard pile. So when you're doing your tableau stuff, it's, you know, getting shuffled back into your deck. So you're actually like, you're guaranteed things are going to be coming up, right? And you never really quite know. Really, really interesting take on deck building. Something I hadn't seen before, which is always really cool to see. In Goblivion, like I said, it's a tower defense, and this is a competitive game, and you're basically trying to race to get 10 gold pieces. So that's sort of your goal in the game.
I was wondering when gold was going to show up.
There we go. Yep. They're at 48K of their 20K goal, and they've got about 750 backers. This is another one that's going to be ending on December 21st. They've got a couple of different pledge levels. There's the new game, which is $30. You can also get Goblivion, their original game, for $30. It's a 7.7 on BGG, so it's got a good ranking. And then if you want both, you can get it for $59.
Awesome. Well, from Kickstarter to GameFound, Sean, I see we have another game with Batman.
With Batman. This is a preview. This game is not available yet. And the reason why people might want to check this out now is if you preview this game, and you can actually follow on GameFound, and when you follow, what you'll get sometimes is a free gift. And you actually get a free gift with this.
Is it Batman?
It is not Batman. It is something a little cooler.
It's cooler than Batman?
It's cooler than Batman, in my opinion, anyway.
Batman's boomerang. Batarang.
You get to, you actually get a, they call it a skin.
Okay.
So what it is, it's going to change out one of your asylum people into Bane. So Escape from Arkham Asylum, Batman Escape from Arkham Asylum on GameFound. This is a really interesting game. So you're trying to escape from Arkham as Joker, as Harley Quinn, you know, as the Rogues Gallery from Batman. And you, if you're too loud, if you're, you know, make too much noise, if you cause too much commotion, then Batman will come and, you know, try and hunt you down. So you're trying to avoid him. You're also trying to get out, trying to set the other people up. So it's competitive.
And Bane is our stealth mode?
He might be. I don't know. Like, he's one of the people that you can unlock. It's a special gift that they give you.
He's just a cool-looking character. He's probably more from the animated series Harley Quinn than he is from the Break Batman's Back movies.
I think the idea is that you're going to be, like, being kind of crazy and chaotic, and, you know, things are going to happen. So Batman's going
to
be quiet.
Well, I don't expect Joker to be quiet either.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Just saying.
This is not the silent group of people you would expect. So you can get in and check this out. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be launching, probably early next year. But if you follow now, like I said, you get that free gift. It looks really cool. I love any time you get to play as the bad guys in games. So
you?
That's really neat. Yeah, I know.
Never.
Crazy, right? It's a 1-5 player game as well, so they will have a solo play, which is pretty neat.
1-5 bad players.
1-5 bad players.
All right, Sean.
Last is a, well, this is something special. So we don't typically talk about RPGs, so we don't get a chance to do a lot of role-playing games. But just the concept of this alone, I felt I wanted to bring to the Geek Nationals because this is really, really way out there in bizarro land. So this is called Silver Plate, a tasty campaign setting for 5th edition D&D. So what this is, you're going to be playing in a land where food is sentient. You are playing as food people.
I am a food person, broccoli man.
Thing that you can play as. You can play as the hamburger monk, a coffee cleric, a hot dog fighter, a pineapple pizza bard, and all kinds of crazy, crazy stuff.
I will be the pineapple pizza bard. Bring me the cheese.
I love this quote. Let the sugar feed your rage as a path of sugar rush barbarian. Have the spirits of vegetables assist you as a vegetable gorilla conclave ranger, or awaken, vitalize, and purify your party members as a rejuvenation domain cleric.
Love it. I'll take 10.
The artwork on this is actually really good for as bizarre and insane as it is. The very first image that you see when you go to Silverplate on Kickstarter is the hot dog dude. It's just bonkers. I absolutely love this just crazy setting. It's $21 if you just want the PDF. And that's just the campaign setting. If you want the campaign setting and an adventure, it's $31. Both really reasonable prices. If you want the hardcover books, it's going to be a little more expensive, of course. The campaign setting hardcover is $51, and the campaign and adventure hardcover is $81. But that will also get you a GM screen and some other cool stuff, some maps and whatnot.
When it comes to D&D, you got to go hardcover.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. But this is just such a bizarre, really cool, out there, just completely unique setting. If you like really weird, bonkers stuff like this, definitely check it out. They've got 99K of their 10K goal, so there's at least 1,300 plus people that, you know, like weird stuff like this. I fully support it. This ends on January 5th, so check this one out too.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Geek Nationals, for joining us on an incredible episode of BGA. OrcaCon is coming up. Again, OrcaCon.org to get more information. Get your tickets now. We will hope to see you there. But until next time,
let everyone play next.